listener. Welcome back to another episode of A Real Page Turner with Donnie Granza and Mara Maros. Hi, Donnie.
Hello, Mara. Good to be back for another episode.
Yeah. We kind of have an odd, I think it's an oddball one today. Maybe, I don't know if it's a lesser heard of novel. You know, it was on the New York Times bestseller list, but it's called The Family Fang by Kevin Wilson. And it was written in 2011, but it was one of the Times top 10 fiction books of 2011 and Esquire's and People's. So it was in one of the top 10 novels of 2011. I had actually never heard about it. My sister Lauren had read this book and said it was a movie too. So I said, well, let's check it out. But it was definitely an oddball one. So what about, how about the movie?
Yeah, it's pretty oddball as well. It's called The Family Fang, and it's from 2015. It was written by David Lindsay Abaire and directed by Jason Bateman, who also stars in the film, along with Nicole Kidman and Christopher Walken. It was made in 2015. It was released on Starz Digital in April of 2016.
So it never went to the movies? Is that what I'm hearing? Like to the theaters?
It was a very limited release. It only, like, at the box office, it only grossed $585,165. So by movie standards, that's not a lot whatsoever there. So very limited release.
Yeah, it had like a really kind of an all-star cast.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, with Nicole Kidman, Jason Bateman, Christopher Walken, you know, heavy hitters in the cast.
And the Han, I like her.
Yeah, Catherine Han.
Catherine, okay. I wanted to call her Annie, and I knew that wasn't right, but her name is Annie and something else. Yeah, I like her. She's funny.
Yes.
But the book really is about, the plot is Annie and Buster Fang are children of these famous like performance artists, and they do these like interactive pieces, like kind of like setups. And they use their children, who are Annie and Baxter, to kind of how they grow up and kind of dissociate from their parents. Like Annie's an actress and Buster is a writer. And then their parents go missing and but they're both at home for various reasons. And they know their parents aren't dead, although people think they're dead, but they know it's just a con and that it's part of their acting and it's kind of their quest to find them. And then how do they resolve their lives and, you know, kind of move on from their parents, knowing they've been pretty much pawns in their artistry since they were little. I mean, that's kind of the premise, you know, without getting into too many details, but, you know, there are pretty, I really liked, the book was funny. I thought the book was amusing. You know, when the, you know, Buster goes home because he gets hit in the face with a spud gun because he's doing a story on these men who are shooting, they're made spud guns and they're shooting them and they decide to shoot off his head and he gets hit in the face, which is pretty funny. So, you know, that's how he gets home and Annie kind of goes off the rails and at a acting gig and comes home because she's kind of dysfunctional. I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Yes. So the book definitely like goes more in depth. It has, you know, many examples of their different performances, I guess, or if you want to call them that there. And it's just very odd. The movie really, you know, kind of just gives you like a little like the gist of what they do, but not all that much in depth to it. And one thing I noticed, like probably one of the biggest changes between the book and the movie is the name of the characters. But one in particular, Jason Bateman's character, you mentioned Buster, the son, but in the movie he's called Baxter Fang. And I was curious why they changed the name, and I looked it up, and that was Bateman's own decision because he's well known for starring in the sitcom Arrested Development, and on that show his brother's character was named Buster, so he thought that would be like a little too on the nose, it'd be a little too distracting, that people would associate that, so he decided to change. So
yeah, and sorry, Donnie, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I just I found that a little interesting there, because it's something we've come apart many times where character name changes from books to films. Always interesting to.
Yeah, and it's funny you said that, because the whole time I was reading this book, and I knew Bateman played this character when I was reading it, but I kept picturing Tony Hale's character Buster from Arrested Development as this Buster. And I kind of like thought, I don't know, Tony Hale would have been, I guess it's too on the nose, right? But he was reminding me in the book of Buster in Arrested Development, this character, kind of like how, you know, he's a little bit weird. He's always, you know, he's kind of just doing dumb stuff, you know, so that it did kind of remind me of that, which is funny that you said that. But I did like, you know, I agree with you. I thought the movie didn't do as well as a job of translating what the parents were actually doing, right? Like the book, you really got what they were doing and it went into a lot of detail and you saw that. And I thought it was hard to figure out what exactly they were doing in the movie.
Yeah. Like the movie, it starts off with them, you know, in a flashback sequence. There are many flashback sequences, and starts off with Baxter going in a bank, and he comes as a little boy. He comes up to the teller, gives her a note, and it's like looks like a note that a bank robber would give to a teller. But instead of asking for money, asks for lollipops, and the teller kind of smiles and laughs, and she hands him a lollipop. And then he pulls out a gun and demands all of them there. And then causes this panic when the security guard like shouts gun and goes and like tackles the boy and shoots it. And it's just, and then we later learn that the father was the security guard and the mother was the woman that allegedly gets shot, and his sister is the girl crying over her. And then the father reveals that this is all a performance piece and this is art there. So that's how the movie kicks off, and I just kind of like weirded out. I was like, okay, this is more info.
Yeah, and I didn't really love like the documentary style that they were doing to give you insight into the parents and what they were doing and into their friend, the gentleman that they went out there that he was friends with, it was their mentor, like Hobart Waxman. I didn't care for that documentary style when they had them, you know, telling what they had been doing. Like, I don't know. I just kind of felt like it was strange.
Yeah. I felt a little like derivative or something. Like it was trying to be like a best in show type film a little.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I didn't care for that. Yeah. The movie was weird. It wasn't one of my favorite movies. And I love Jason Bateman. I think you know that. By now, but this one, and you know what was strange too, like they didn't, when he's hit with the spud gun in the book, like he has a lot of damage, like his face, like people are reacting to him differently. And really in the movie, it was only his ear. So you didn't see any of that facial, like really what the potato gun did to him. So like that to me was a little lost because it wasn't as serious as an accident as it was in the book.
Yeah. I kind of get probably why they held back, because if he had, you know, was like in horrible condition, it would probably be like too much of a distraction for the audience there. Like probably like every scene they'd be looking at him and it would just be too much of a distraction. So yeah, unfortunately it, you know, kind of, you know, held back a little there, but I kind of get why they did it. Why they didn't want to show that.
Yeah. And I think that the, you know, the ending, I think, was very similar. You know, it's kind of funny that the two of them know their parents aren't dead. I mean, they kind of grapple with what if they really are dead, but they really don't entertain that their parents are dead. You know, then they, you know, find that heavy metal CD with the Twin Prodigies, which is funny that they know the song because it's the one they did as children, that Kill All Parents. Yeah, it's kind of funny. But I mean, the end is different, I think, too, because they kind of tell them how long ago they've done it and in the book and how they plan to reemerge in 7 years. But, you know, you kind of see the damage it's done to the children, but they still decide, you know, I mean, at the end, the parents decide to, you know, make their art a priority than their children, which is really the theme of what they've done the whole movie. I mean, the whole book and movie, you know, Annie's relationships and kind of her path of self-destruction is a little underdone. You know, you don't really see, you don't see that she's been like a superstar actress and that, you know, she's kind of slowly gone downhill and she was in a relationship and that's broken up. And, you know, it's, you don't get all that kind of drama from her. I don't think so in the movie.
No, it definitely felt like they were holding back a lot. I felt like there wasn't enough comedy into it.
Yeah, I agree.
Like it was, because the premise is kind of ridiculous, and they could have done a lot more. But it was like, I don't know. I just felt if they really leaned into the comedy and just made it like even like wackier, I think maybe I would have liked it. But Dish is just not my cup of tea.
No, I agree, because the book is very quirky and it has some funny moments, and you know, it is a crazy premise and. It is amusing in the in the book, but I didn't find the movie. You're right. I didn't find the movie as entertaining and kind of wacky. You're right. They should have just leaned into that a little bit more.
Yeah. That was like kind of a little too much drama for me there. And yeah, and sometimes, you know, dramedies can work there, but I just wasn't feeling it with this one. Even though, you know, these are, you know, actors I really like. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I am too. I really like her. She and Jason Bateman, I think they're great. And Christopher Walken is always good.
Yes.
But I just, yeah, it wasn't one of my favorites.
No. Yeah. There was one instance in the book that I don't believe it was in the movie where one of the performance, things that they do is they have Buster enter into like they have him dress in drag and enter into like a girl's beauty pageant.
No, that was there. In the movie. That was there.
Huh?
It was.
Oh, I missed that.
It was short. It was a short snippet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I must. Oh, my bad. Yep. I must have missed it. Yeah, because it was, you know.
Just, no, it's there because he's all dressed up, and the parents are cheering in the audience. No, it's definitely there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, but again, like just a short snippet. You know, kind of they just you know, didn't have enough there. It seems like it was much more in depth in the book, which
yeah, no, it does. I don't know. This is an odd one. I have to, and my sister, she didn't tell me how she came across this one because it's kind of an obscure. Like I actually don't think I've ever really wasn't familiar with Kevin Wilson as a writer, and yeah. I really did like his writing style in this book. I thought it was funny and easy to read.
Yeah.
You know, something different than some that I've read a lot of. So I thought that was good. I hadn't heard of him nor this book. And, you know, I thought it was, I'm glad I read the book because I did think it was very good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't my favorite book, but it was okay. I liked it. But this might be the most obscure movie we've ever done because when you suggested it, it was like I had no recollection at all. Like even like some, you know, some movies and books we've done, I, you know, maybe not all that familiar with it, but I would think, okay, yeah, I heard of that. It was like this, I had nothing, like no prior acknowledgement coming forward into it there.
Yeah, this Kevin, yeah, I didn't either. And this Kevin Wilson has quite a few other books, you know, Perfect Little World, Baby, You're Going to Be Mine. Now is not the time to panic. I would read another one of his just to see like how they are, they the same type of, you know, vibe or not. I would just kind of wonder that. I did like it.
Yeah.
But it was good. But yeah, the movie, not one of my favorites. I would. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we recommend the book. Movie, not so much. best way to put it.
That is the way to put it. But I mean, and everybody's performances were good in it. It's just when you compare it to, I would have to wonder, like, if you didn't read the book, like, would you get it?
Yeah. Yeah, because right. I felt like we were like at a little bit of an advantage because we kind of knew what to get into in the beginning. Like the movie just didn't lean into it enough there. And I found myself like I couldn't find like anyone to like root for or identify with. Like in the movie, like I just found myself annoyed by the characters there. And I just think, I don't know, like. Movies about dysfunctional families, I just feel like have kind of been done to death. Like, yeah, like, it, you know, it happens. And, you know, in the real world, there's many, you know, people who grow up and realize that their parents maybe didn't give them the best childhood there. You know, so that's a very, you know, real world thing that people can identify with. But I just think it's kind of been done over and over again. There's been many like movies and TV shows and whatnot with that kind of basic premise. And
yeah, I agree with you that nobody the rooting for, because in the book, like I found myself really rooting for Buster / Baxter. You know, you wanted him to become more independent and functional, you know, kind of go out on his own. And, you know, he had been on his own, but kind of in a dysfunctional way. Like you wanted him to be more, you know, a great writer and have everything. And, you know, in the movie, I agree with you. That was it was really hard to find somebody to root for.
Yeah, true. Anything else?
No, I think this Yeah, I mean, I feel like we kind of covered it. I will say I like the length of the movie. You know me, I like a 90 minute or maybe a little bit longer. This did it for me. So I will say that.
Yeah, that was good. If this went over 2 hours, it would have been... been excruciating.
Right. So I did, you know, I did enjoy the length of the movie. But yeah, I know. I don't think anything else.
Yeah, no, that covers it there.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I think the ending is I would recommend the book. You maybe not. And neither of us love the movie. So, which is a kind of a first for us. I think sometimes you like the movie and I don't, or vice versa. But
I think we've had a couple
where
we did not enjoy the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, until next week, listener, keep reading
and keep watching.